The JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you had a tremendous weekend right now this minute. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. I hope you're amazing. I hope you are all of the good things. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey. He is in New York City. The NBA playoffs have started. The NHL playoffs have started. Baseball is underway. The NBA is rolling on. The NFL, they got a draft on Thursday. We got a lot to get into. A lot of basketball talk. Man, we had some terrible blowouts yesterday. And some whoopings. We might have some whoopings the rest of the way. We got the funny things happening here in Atlanta, not just with Kirk Cousins, but also with the Atlanta Hawks. They fired their GM. We got Nico Iamaliava. It's formal now. It's official. He's going to UCLA after leaving Tennessee. Mavs continue to get dumber and dumber every time Nico Harrison opens up his mouth. And so to talk about everything going on in the NFL and the NBA, we got some guests who are going to come through and join us. How about this? In a couple of hours, we're going to be joined by former NBA point guard. This man is down in New Orleans calling the Pelicans games. You can listen to him on SiriusXM NBA Radio. A former point guard, Antonio Daniels, is going to come through and join us. And how about this? Next hour, we're going to have a chat with Ryland Stiles to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder. I've never seen a team kind of beat its way up through everybody in the regular season, not garner a lot of attention throughout the course of the year. Are people overlooking the Thunder? Is it just because of their age? Is it because they're a young team? Well, we'll have that chat next hour. The Thunder handed out, you talk about a beating. Oh my God. Thunder beat the Grizzlies 131-80. It's the biggest game one beat down that we've ever seen in NBA history. That's crazy. And we'll talk about the Thunder next hour, a couple hours to have a chat with Antonio Daniels. He'll come through. If you want to come through and be a part of the show, you can do that too. You can call up at any time. Listen very carefully to the number. It's 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist everywhere at JR Sport Brief. We got a lot to get into, a lot to talk about, but I got to say hello. I have to ask how our super producer and host Ryan Hickey is doing. How are you, man? You good?
I'm doing good, JR. Yeah, after watching that blowout yesterday, I think everyone is doing great that's not right now a Grizzlies player, coach, or fan.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to say, which blowout are you talking about? But you're talking about that...
blowout.
Oh, my God.
Just domination, to put it nicely.
Maybe the Grizzlies were tired from, being a part of that play-in stuff. Maybe they were just gassed. I don't know.
They blew out the Mavs, though, on Friday. It's not like they were playing, a nail-biting overtime finish.
They still had to go out there and play, right?
True, true. But this is also not the first time we've seen, a 10-seed or a 9-seed play in that last play-in game and then have a quick turnaround of a day and a half to go play in a first-round game. And we haven't seen anyone else lose by 50 points before.
I'm here for it. I mean, this is the part of... See, I love the basketball. But I'm here for getting teams the hell up on out of here that don't need to be here. Like, if you are going to be a complete waste of time, and spare us, okay? Look, the Thunder are going to beat the Grizzlies. Are the Grizzlies going to get one game? Or are they going to get two games? And yeah, I know you have to go out there and play the games. This is why they play the games. A guy can go out there and get hurt. A guy can go out there and get injured. I understand all of that. But all things being equal, the Thunder are going to beat the Grizzlies. They're going to advance past the first round, unless there's some massive injury or something ridiculous happens. Ja Morant only had 17 points. I don't know if this is certainly not good for the Grizzlies as well. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander only had 15 points, and they still smoked the Grizzlies. Cavaliers went over the Heat, another matchup that you just have to look at and go, well, thank you, play-in. Miami had to play their asses off here in Atlanta, Georgia on Friday night, just to advance past the Hawks, who, by the way, fired their GM, Landry Fields, today. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And then, I guess, this is another blowout. How many? Why all these games yesterday were blowouts? They all sucked. I mean, except for the last one at night. Even that was a blowout. They made it kind of close at the end, but it was basically a blowout too. But before we get to the Warriors, Celtics beating the Magic. When the most interesting thing about the game is a flagrant foul. You know that game sucked. 103-86, the Celtics won over the Magic. Tatum only had 17 points. He was 1 of 8 from downtown. He was knocked out of the air by Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And Jason Tatum's mom, after the game, basically went to her son as he was walking into the locker room after the game. Do you want me to go to the Magic locker room? Oh, my God. What is she going to do? She's going to threaten Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? Is she going to put a hit out on a guy? What exactly is a dude's mother going to do at the end of an NBA basketball game? I couldn't believe it. I mean, Joe Mazzulla couldn't believe it as well. Jason Tatum apparently injured his wrist. His head coach, Joe Mazzulla, has seen him whine and, I guess, complain and be a drama queen on the floor so much. Joe Mazzulla stopped the trainer from running onto the court. And he yelled down the court, "Get up." Hickey, did you see that?
I did, and I need to watch. I watched like 3 times just to like truly make sure, like, this is, like, I'm not seeing something here, right? I'm not imagining anything, but this is what's going on. It was like old school, like JV freshman, like sports all over again. Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah, the guy's like, he stopped the train. The trainer's standing there like, what do I do? I mean, they're on the complete opposite end of the court, and Joe Mazzulla is just like, no, don't go out there. Like, the guy could have had a broken wrist for all we know, and he's like, don't go out there. And he's yelling at him to get up. You talk about JV. That dude is. These are grown men, by the way, Hickey. I don't know how this works, you know, when you get into the locker room. On one end, you got Jason Tatum's mom kind of like, hey, do you want me to go over to the other team's locker room? Maybe you need to check on your son in his own locker room, because the coach apparently just runs that place with an iron fist. Matter of fact, here's Jason Tatum after the game, after he got yelled at by his coach, after his mom asked him if he needed a lollipop. Jason Tatum, he talked about his wrist.
It's all right. I just fell on it, landed on it.
Was it just like a singer, or like, you didn't wrap it up, but, you know, can you explain what the sensation was, or did it just go away, or is it something that you think is going to bother you?
No, I just landed on it. It was throbbing for a second. Kind of went away.
Did you get an x-ray on that? What was the result of that?
Yeah, it's clean. It's good.
Oh, wow. Okay. Hickey, why didn't anybody ask him about his mother? Is that too much? Hey, we heard your mom after the game, and she wanted to know if it was okay for her to go into the Magic locker room. What did you tell her? Like, why didn't nobody ask her that or ask him that?
You know who he needed on the beat yesterday?
What?
We needed some of those Dallas Mavericks reporters that asked basically Nico Harrison, why do you still have a job? Earlier today, we need those guys to be in the press conferences. They would have asked. Oh, not that Boston is soft. They have some very tough media members. But
What did you tell your mom when she asked if she should go into the other team's locker room? Wow.
Could you imagine?
Yo, Pete, but here's the thing, Hickey. Somebody on the court is going to tell him about that one day. It might take place in this series. You know, I don't know if anybody on the Magic is nasty enough to do so. I don't know. Maybe the Magic are too young. Maybe they're not a senior enough. But one day he's going to be playing against somebody this year, next year. And somebody's going to taunt him with that. Like, oh, I fouled you. You going to tell your mom? Is your mom going to come get me? Like, Hickey, somebody has to hit him with that. Draymond has to do it, right?
Draymond, I mean, I agree. There's enough players in the league that like to chirp I agree. Definitely come back at some point. Maybe I don't say hope, but like, they'd be interested to see how he responds, but sooner rather than later.
Oh, Tatum?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean from a basketball standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, right, he's cool on the outside, usually calm. You rarely see him actually get aggravated, maybe once in a while at a referee, but he's usually pretty composed. I mean, when you get family members involved, as Garnett can attest to, that's really pushes people's buttons.
It's tough, because on one end right now, Jason Tatum is in a space of, he's getting a reputation. I'm not saying he's getting a reputation. Like, I feel a lot of people started to pick on him during the Celtics celebrations last year, like when they immediately won the championship and they were like, oh, he's looking for the right words to say. He was going through, you know, we did it. He's just, I don't know, trying to find a second or a moment. He's been knocked a little bit for his personality. Nothing wrong with him, but it's just like he's always searching for something. Now, let me tell you, I don't care if you're making 350 mil, 370. I don't care if you're one of the biggest athletes in the country. You could be one of the biggest athletes on earth. You could be some kid that didn't even make the varsity team. You could be on JV. Nobody wants to be that kid. Nobody wants to be that grown man whose mother has to stand up for him. Like, I know that is the last thing that Jason Tatum wanted anybody to hear, let alone for it to go public. His mother standing in front of a camera, and maybe she didn't know it was on or there because the camera's directly behind her. And she is saying to her son, do you want me to go to the Magic locker room? Oh, my. That's like the worst. Hickey, that's like your mom picking you up from school and, I don't know, she's like, you want me to go beat up the bully for you? Like, come on, mom, why are you saying that in front of the whole class? What are you doing?
Could you imagine being in the Magic locker room yesterday afternoon? All of a sudden, you hear knock on the door. Hello, who is it? Oh, it's Mrs. Tatum? And you're looking for who? Is who home?
Bruh. They are already... The only thing that may have stopped them from clowning him, which they may have already done, because you know the team sees it. These guys on social media, they see it. They're laughing. Maybe they would have made a bigger deal out of it privately. I got to make a big deal out of it publicly. You don't want to fan the flames. But you know the guys saw this. And the only thing that may have stopped them is the fact that they lost. Because going after somebody because their mom tried to defend them in a basketball game, this isn't the Jokic brothers trying to physically fight the Morris twins. This is a guy's mom threatening to go into the other team's locker room. At least the Celtics are a good team. They're going to get the Magic the hell up on out of here. But Jason Tatum, reputation takes another one of a hit. He's a mama's boy. It's official. Welcome to the club. Jason Tatum. He's like, yeah, my wrist is fine. Meanwhile, his head coach, Joe Mazzulla, he described his game. Tatum didn't have a great shooting game. 17 points, 1 of 8 from three. Listen to this evil head coach describe it.
Probably didn't play the efficient offensive game that he liked, but I thought his poise, you couldn't tell that. That never got in the way of his defense and his physicality and his rebounding. And that's the most important thing. I mean, he's going to score. He's going to put us in position to be successful. But, you got to answer the call defensively, physicality-wise. I thought he did that, especially in the rebounding in the second half.
Yeah, nothing about yelling at this guy to get up when he hurt his wrist. The guy needed to get an MRI and an x-ray on his wrist, and his coach is like, get up. No trainer, get up. What a world. You should have asked him if he regrets yelling at his own guy like that. Probably not. That guy is insane. Meanwhile, we did have a good game last night. Well, it ended up being good kind of at the end. The Warriors went over the Young Rockets 95-85. I want to see Steph Curry succeed. I'm sick of Draymond. I'm sick of Jimmy Butler. Sick of both of these guys. But Steph Curry, his partner right now, and Jimmy Butler, it's the best player he's had since that Kevin Durant guy left. Steph Curry dropped 31. Jimmy Butler had 25, 7-6. They smoked the Rockets. This is supposed to be the young team. It's supposed to have the energy, supposed to have the weapons. They're supposed to drive the Warriors out of the building. Sengun, 26. Van Vliet, a veteran, only 10 points, 4 of 19 shooting. Jalen Green, a youngster, 7 points, 3 of 15 shooting. These guys found out the playoffs were going on, and they wet the bed. That's it. They stunk. And so the Golden State Warriors, all things considered, I think they're going to beat the Rockets, and I'm not just saying that because of last night. I picked them before. I want to see how far these veteran Warriors can go. I mean, they're taking on a young Rockets team. So it would be a lot of fun. And someone who's used to watching Steph Curry lose his mind is Steve Kerr. Because what else is new? And Steve Kerr is just like, yeah, we see this all the time. What else is new? He's amazing.
He was incredible. And, with that type of pressure on him from Thompson and others. He just made some amazing plays.
Yeah, what else? Steph Curry's shooting the hell out of the ball, 31 points. Okay. Jimmy Butler's still getting used to this. Jimmy Butler says, man, if we want to win anything, this guy got to beat people up all the time. This is what he told TNT.
Like I always say, Batman comes out of nowhere. You never see him coming, then he just falls from the sky, from a building, behind a door, and does some incredible things, man. He's going to be the reason that we do win at all. We all know that, but we got to protect him at all costs.
Okay, he compares Steph Curry to Batman. All right, whatever. I think Steph Curry is a nicer guy than Batman. Batman seems like a little bit of a weirdo. You're traumatized into being a hero and a little too dark. Hickey, is there not a more positive superhero to compare Steph Curry to?
Is that Superman?
Yeah, right. He's a nicer guy, right?
Yeah.
Batman a little too dark, you know? He's a tormented soul.
Right, we don't want that. Steph Curry's not tormented.
Yeah, he's not coming out behind doors, hanging out in alleys and stuff like that. Not at all. Good for him. Steve Kerr happy. Jimmy Butler happy. Someone who's not happy, well, I guess maybe being a Celtics coach means you will never be happy. Ime Udoka, the fired Celtics coach, because he didn't know how to, he didn't know how to stay away from his coworkers, if you get my drift. Ime Udoka, he talked about how the Rockets sucked. And those guys on offense I told you about.
Hold somebody 95, you'd expect to win if you have a decent offensive night. And not only the shots, but like I said, turnovers playing in the crowd. The misses in the crowd are the same as turnovers, basically. So had our chances. Got it to a four-point game with 2:34, I think, and gave up a three there. But, guarded well enough to win.
Well, Hickey, he sounds polite, huh? He sounds like a polite guy.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to say optimistic, but compared to Joe Mazzulla, you'd have no idea who is the loser and who is the winner.
Yeah, you wouldn't. He sounds polite. Yeah, Joe Mazzulla sounds like every day is a loss. I couldn't tell. What did he say when they won the championship? I don't even remember. Did he speak?
I don't remember. And if he did, it's probably something like, this is great, but you know, tomorrow they're going to come after us. It's going to be nothing. We got to just keep on focusing. They're going to come after us. We got to be ready to go.
That's a great impersonation. Michael Malone doesn't even have a job anymore with the Denver Nuggets. I remember what he said after the Nuggets won, because he was cursing up a storm. Like, I remember what coaches say. Joe Mazzulla don't remember. Like, he slipped into the darkness to go in an MMA fight. I have no idea what he went to do. But the NBA playoffs are underway. He had all them blowouts yesterday. Today we have we got a couple of matchups. This is going to be fun, actually. We got Detroit at New York. They get going in a little more than an hour. And then later tonight, we have the Los Angeles Clippers and the Denver Nuggets. Surprise, surprise. Russell Westbrook helped save the Nuggets barely in their last game in game one. So we only got two games on the docket tonight. We got a lot to get into. Of course, I told you, we got point guard Antonio Daniels. He's going to come through and join us in a couple hours. We're going to talk about the, dare I say, underrated Oklahoma City Thunder. Ryland Stiles is going to come through and join us in exactly an hour from now. We're going to talk about some NFL action as the draft is only a few days away. We got a guy here in Atlanta who may not be traded because the Falcons are asking for too much. That dude's name is Kirk Cousins. So we have a lot to get into. You want to be a part of the show? You can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about someone who might be making his return just in time for the playoffs. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Hey, we talked about some of the playoff matchups that we saw over the weekend in the NBA. Unfortunately, a lot of them were blowouts. I mean, last night, Warriors beating the Rockets, that was a little bit of a blowout. They got the lead down to 10. 95-98 was the final there. I told you about the two games that we have tonight, Detroit at New York in about an hour from now. And then later this evening, we have the Clippers taking on the Denver Nuggets. Now, a game that we do have tomorrow, I'm looking forward to this one. I don't know if it's because I'm you know, thirsting for blood. I want to beef. I want to fight. We got Milwaukee taking on the Pacers in game two. In game one, the Bucks lost 117-98. Nobody told Giannis Antetokounmpo's teammates that they were, you know, they were capable of going out there and helping him actually score the basketball. Giannis had 36 points. Everybody else just kind of poured in absolutely nothing. Okay. The most exciting part about that game from this past Saturday was the fact that Damian Lillard, this guy is coming back from a blood clot. This man is on the bench. He's beefing. He's chirping with Pascal Siakam. He's having a beef and an issue with Tyrese Halliburton. They're going back and forth. The referees had to say, okay, knock it off. And Damian Lillard wasn't even playing. And for a guy who's coming back from a blood clot in his leg, last week we learned that he's no longer on blood thinning medication. And then we also have learned that he is he's questionable for tomorrow's game. There's a possibility that he doesn't just stand around on the sidelines and, you know, yell at the opposition, that he can actually help Giannis Antetokounmpo and get some buckets on the side. Well, not on the side. He needs a lot of help getting those buckets. Earlier today, Doc Rivers, he talked about Damian Lillard, and Doc didn't want to say too much, but hey, Doc, how is he doing? Is he okay?
We didn't do a lot of live stuff today, but he did everything today, so he's just progressing. He looks good.
Oh, damn. Wow. Okay. Hickey, my throat, my voice, I don't sound like Doc Rivers yet, do I? No?
No. You sound very smooth.
Okay.
Doc right. Sounds very... I'm sure I'm going to find a word that describes it. But you just, I'll say this, you sound a lot smoother than Doc.
Okay. I was going to say, because I don't know how many vocal cords a human being has in his throat. Let's say this, Hickey, let's just say for argument's sake, and it's probably way off. That's a good question. Do you have any idea? How many vocal cords do we have? Do you have any idea?
No idea. My initial guess would be like three.
Three. I was going to say 15.
Oh, wow.
If we have 15 vocal cords, like 12 of Doc Rivers are already gone. Like 12, automatically gone. Doesn't have them.
Wow, how about this?
What?
Humans have two vocal cords.
Oh, wow. One and two.
Doc Rivers has zero.
Both the... Nah, well, I mean, if he didn't have none, who you say he's at a 75% capacity or 25% left?
Ever heard a dog bark when they got their vocal cords surgically removed?
It sounds like a chirp, right? Nothing.
That's what Doc Rivers sounds like. Oh, there's like a noise. It's faint, but there's still a noise. That's what Doc Rivers sounds like when he tries to speak. A dog without vocal cords.
When it's the fourth quarter of a game.
Oh.
And the game is 98-97. And the Milwaukee Bucks are down by one with 3 seconds left on the clock. And they're at home. Imagine this is game seven of the NBA Finals. How the hell do they know what he's saying? Does that guy got a mega, like, how can they hear this guy? It's got to be impossible.
That's why he's got the whiteboard. Just probably right. Write it down.
You're right. He does have
Dame,
that one.
Bring ball up. Right. Maybe like write like G for Giannis. G, screen. He can't talk to everybody. There's no way they hear him.
Yeah, I've heard him screaming in a huddle, though. It sounds, and I think he's wearing a microphone when he's doing it, too, right? I don't know.
Probably boost those levels big time.
Yeah, all these guys are, they're all mic'd up. I hope Damian Lillard comes back tomorrow. We have no idea what he's going to look like conditioning-wise. Probably pitiful. Or maybe he has a little bit of an extra battery in his back now that he got into a whole lot of smack talk with Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Halliburton. When I think smack talk, I don't necessarily think of those two. But Damian Lillard was not happy with those individuals. And, you know, speaking of smack talk, it's Monday morning. What a world we live in. I woke up and I saw that A.J. Brown, he had to talk smack to the city of Philadelphia last night. Yeah, the man who just won himself a championship, a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. He learned what it's like to, dare I say, be a resident of Philadelphia. He went on social media and wrote this. Dear Philly, so whoever stole my car last night, I'll make a deal with you. Bring back my car and I won't press charges. Or when I find you today, it's going to be what it's going to be. Take it or leave it, my guy. He tweeted that Monday morning. He ultimately deleted it. And then later in the day, A.J. Brown, I know Damian Lillard is trying to return tomorrow. Apparently, A.J. Brown had his car returned. Listen to this from Instagram.
I'm out here grinding for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I got to look for my car. Come on, man. Nah, but look, we already got the whip. See, I told you to just turn the car back in. Just turn it in now, and now you got to deal with the consequences, man. I'll tell y'all a little funny joke, man. This morning, when we was talking to the police, my little son going to come up and say, hey, dad, Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol. I said, hey, everybody got jokes this morning, huh? Yeah, and the joke's on you.
Yeah, he got his car, and the car and the thief, they found him. I mean, there's no details on, all these things are, you can track them all. There's no details on how he got his car back, right? No?
I mean, I'm just going to infer based on what he said that the police helped find it, track it down, and okay. I'm sure the people who were at the residence, I'm assuming he was at a residence, were arrested, would be my guess.
Yeah, well, we don't even know what type of car it was. I do remember earlier this season. Remember he showed up to the game in a Honda Accord? Did you see that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I throw a hot take by you?
Go ahead. That's not the car that got stolen?
That's not the car that got stolen.
you don't think Honda Accords are hot on the market?
Not on what would you even call it? Is it the black market? The secondary market?
We need parts. People need parts with the tariffs now, okay?
That's true, but I think there are some cars maybe worth... There are cars that hold more expensive parts than a Honda Accord.
All right, maybe.
Even in this economy.
Okay. I'm just trying to make it make sense. I agree with you. It's probably the Honda Accord that was not stolen. But if I was a thief, and I'm not, Hickey, I'm just trying to think like a thief. It's very difficult for me to do that. What?
You sound like the guilty. You sound like O.J. Simpson.
If I did it, this is what I would have done.
And this is so hard because I don't know what it's like, but I'm just going to take my wildest guess on it. If I was a thief, what would I be thinking? Again, I have no idea what you know, this is so difficult for me to put myself in the thief's shoes.
Imagine you said I sound like O.J. Simpson. Don't say that. It's not nice, Hickey. Don't say that.
That was funny.
Oh, man. Anyway.
You are funny.
If I was a car thief, okay, I would be thinking about, hey, I get a Honda Accord. They're getting ready to upcharge all of the parts in the Honda anyway. So why can't I steal the car and take the parts and then offer them on a discount? Because either A, they're no longer coming into the country, or B, they're coming into the country on a higher price. I could be the Honda Connect in America.
And I would assume, right, in terms of like chasing down stolen cars,
yeah,
Honda Civics maybe won't be as heavily pursued as whatever car A.J. Brown has. I'm assuming it's very expensive.
Yes.
And I'm sure the cops maybe just, there's a lot of Honda Accords out there. It's probably a lot more difficult to track down than, a very expensive car that A.J. Brown has.
Yeah, especially once you rip it apart, right?
That's very true.
Yeah, Honda Accord, a dime a dozen. Rolls Royce, I could find people with a Rolls Royce. Maybe Hickey, he's driving a nice car, yeah. You take a Honda Accord, that car is a... If I steal a Honda at 3 a.m., that car is taken apart by 5, okay?
I agree.
Yeah.
You got to go to work quickly. Like, okay, I'm getting this, and we're ripping this thing apart ASAP.
Yeah, you don't steal a Rolls Royce at 3 a.m. and, successfully just drive it around for 2 days and nobody finds out about it. I don't see that one happening. And by the way, Hickey, I did see another one of your favorite autonomous vehicles today in front of me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you were driving behind it?
I was driving behind this thing, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did it stop short at all? Cut you off? Failed
no.
to use the blinker?
Nope. So what I did see, this thing was in front of me for, let's say, about 6 or 7 blocks on a residential street. Two, three-lane residential street. Pretty quiet street, but can be busy. It was in front of me. It had its blinker on to make a left. And the blinker was on for about 5 blocks before it actually made the left turn. And so I was like, oh, the light is on for it to make a left. And every block, it didn't turn left. it eventually made the left. And I'm like, oh, it's driving like a real human and it's doing crap like this.
That's frustrating. But yeah, I guess you're right. It's human 2.0 now.
Yeah, I would think if you're going to hit the left turn, a blinker, then you're going to make a left turn on the next block, not five blocks later. But I sure as hell drove by it. I looked to my left and I said, ain't a damn person in that car. Now I'm like, okay. And the other day I saw when I don't remember what street I was on. This is a busy street. Hickey, it was a main street here in Atlanta. It went from one lane and it merged into another just in between two cars seamlessly. And I'm like, this thing has it all timed out where it can merge. And there's nobody driving a car. This thing is doing it by itself. It's freaky, man.
That's impressive. I'm assuming they had the blinker on that time correctly.
It did. And I was just like, wait a minute. Like the person, I would have been freaked out if I was a person that the thing merged in front of me. Because I'm like, how did it thing timed it out to just seamlessly get in between two cars driven by humans? And the machine wasn't, let me put it this way. I've seen humans hesitant to make the merge over that this computerized car just did on its own. And that freaked me out a little bit. It's just crazy. Wait until New York City gets it. Well, there's so many rules in New York. You're not ready for the driverless car in New York?
I don't know if that would fly. Because, I mean, there are just no rules in those New York City streets. People turn whenever they want. Ooh. They cut you off. No regard for it.
People drive crazy down here, bro. I guess it may only be in like a 20-block radius. It may only be in the middle of the city. Let me tell you, there's some places where you take that driverless car, people will rip that thing apart, okay?
I think it's programmed. Don't go down these streets.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
It's like you're in an Uber, it's going the long way. Sorry, I can't go down this way. This is a blackout zone for us.
Look, I've seen enough sci-fi movies. I think if somebody tried to rip something off of one of those cars, like the thing is filled with cameras. It's like 80 million cameras. If I went up to one on a stoplight and tried to rip a camera off, I'm pretty sure the thing would go halt, stand back. The authorities are being alerted. You're being photographed. Like stop, halt. You're committing a felony. Like it would try to threaten you. So one thing to get threatened by a human, one thing to get threatened by Jason Tatum's mom. It's one thing to get threatened by Damian Lillard. Man, it's a whole nother world if you ever get threatened by a robot. It's a new world, people. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. And that's not even the craziest thing that took place in Atlanta today. The Hawks, they decided to switch up their front office. And the Falcons, well, they look like they're still stuck with their quarterback. The backup quarterback, I mean. We'll talk more about that on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
That's good. That's better than the opposite. Although we all have our own taste, right? I appreciate you. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. You can get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Things are crazy here in the state of Georgia. Just heard Outkast bring us back from break. We just talked about the driverless cars that I've encountered here in the city. Yeah, things are wild in Atlanta, Georgia. Not just on the streets. How about this? Falcons are still reportedly trying to get rid of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins still the highest paid backup quarterback in the NFL. Michael Penix Jr. has taken his guy's job, or you can look at it as Kirk Cousins gave the job away by being hurt and then by giving away plenty of interceptions. And Kirk Cousins, you might recall, around this time last year, signed a four-year, $180 million contract with the Falcons, only to have Michael Penix Jr., who went to a national championship game with Washington. This guy was selected eighth overall. The Falcons looked at Kirk Cousins and said, hey, we're going to pay you, but we don't trust you. We're going to draft the QB anyway. And Kirk Cousins is, let's just say he's ticked off in the most polite way possible. This guy's making trips up to Cleveland. taking photos in local establishments that serve food and drink, and I guess he's trying to position the Falcons to move him. I want to be in Cleveland. Well, Browns added Flacco to the team. Browns also have the number 2 overall selection in the entire draft. Browns may not need him. Meanwhile, it appears that the Falcons, in order to trade Kirk Cousins, they're asking for a team to eat at least half of what he's owed. Kirk Cousins is owed $45 million on the rest of his contract. Apparently, the Falcons are asking a team that brings him on to pay $20 million. Got a bunch of NFL teams that are saying, hell no, we're not doing that. And so who are some of the teams that might want to bring on Kirk Cousins? Wouldn't it be one hell of a story if he ended back in Minnesota? Right? That wouldn't surprise me. Would it be surprising if Kirk Cousins ended up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? Especially if you know who Aaron Rodgers decides to just hang it up? Not a shock. It would just be mind-numbing if the Falcons kept Kirk Cousins on the roster. There's no point. You could pay a backup quarterback with less drama, someone with experience who's not going to rock the apple cart, not going to rock the boat, while Michael Penix is going through his learning pains. Because by having Kirk Cousins as the backup, like, you're actually screwing up the dynamic of the quarterback room. No different than you screwed it up when you had Kirk Cousins, and then you picked Penix, and everybody is just ticked off. I want to say the best case scenario, not believing for a second that Aaron Rodgers would go to Minnesota. Well, I think a lot of that has to deal with the Brett Favre thing. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I ain't trying to follow in the footsteps anymore of Brett Favre. I did it enough with the New York Jets. I'm done with that. I think a reunion back in Minnesota, I think that would work. I think Kirk Cousins would take the check. I think he would understand that there's an opportunity maybe to start if J.J. McCarthy isn't ready. And I think he's familiar with the system. He knows what's going on. Pittsburgh? Now, only if they're desperate. We're going to have more clarity once we get through the draft on Thursday. We'll see which teams have quarterbacks, which teams don't, who drafted a QB, who might need one. I think this Kirk Cousins situation will be resolved sooner rather than later. Meanwhile, they're not the only Atlanta team that's out here being absolutely ridiculous. The Atlanta Hawks. I saw this and I just had to kind of just shake my damn head. Landry Fields is out as the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Unless you've been living underneath a rock, and it makes all the sense in the world for you to be, especially as it relates to the Hawks. They suck. Like, they're average. They're mediocre. There's nothing exciting about the Hawks. They got Trae Young and a bunch of guys. Some of the guys on the team that were worth a damn, they've actually moved on from. And so after being the GM for the past 2.5-3 years, Landry Fields, who used to play in the NBA and came up in the San Antonio Spurs organization as an executive, he's gone. Now, I can tell you this from just kind of being here and talking to folks. Here's the deal, man. The inside of that organization, they got to figure things out. They need to hire a president. That's what they said they need to do today. There have been rumors that their son has been a part of, meetings, and this is part of the family business now. Tell me if you've heard that before. You've heard that plenty of times. People's kids helping to run teams. And so the Hawks are going nowhere until they get somebody in who knows what they're doing. And by the way, they had one of those, and a guy named Travis Schlenk, who used to work for the Golden State Warriors, put together the most talented Hawks team that we've seen in years. And then the Hawks decided, well, we need to give this guy the boot, because they started bossing him around and not letting him do his job. And so ownership, it starts at the top. Who's making the decisions, and do they know to get the hell up on out the way? And what does this mean for Trae Young? Well, Chris Haynes, he spoke today on Dan Patrick's show. He says Trae Young doesn't want to leave Atlanta.
He said he's in a good spot. He said he knew that there was going to be speculation once the Hawks went to a younger core, had the number one pick. He knew there was going to be speculation about his future. But he said he bought in. He took the You know, Zach, number one pick, you brought him to his hometown of Oklahoma to show him around and spend some time with him right after Zach was drafted, just to get him engaged. And so he's somebody who, again, just told to me about a week and a week and a half ago that he's down with the process. He wants to see this Atlanta Hawks squad turn the corner, and he wants to be a pivotal part in that.
Yeah, good luck. It's going to take some years, man. They got young guys, can't stay healthy. Young guys have to develop. Trae Young is already bald, and he's going to have grays and be bald by the time the Hawks turn things around. Hey, good luck to the Hawks. That's my favorite team. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to tell you about a team that ain't turning nothing around. It's the UCLA Football Bruins. They got a new quarterback, and damn it, he made a big mistake. I will explain. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.